This is Sight to the Blind. The title of this show is Laugh My Ass Off. The reason why I made that title is because of the comment from the last episode that was found in the previous episode, which is why I did the whole episode about why I chose to do the Southern Hemisphere. I'm not going to go on and on and on about the Southern Hemisphere. You guys do exactly what you want to do. Do whatever you want to do. I'm just telling you, if I'm seeking, I'm going to seek him 10 times to 20 times to 30 times more. I'd rather preoccupy myself with searching. Negroes in this country or Gentiles in this country who are just satisfied with doing the bare minimum and thinking the bare minimum is going to get you by. If that's what you truly believe, do the bare minimum. You're not going to change my thought process or how I choose to do these feast days. You won't, especially if I'm much learned and understand the scriptures, prophecies, and the communication between Yahuwah and I. This is where it has led me. You are led completely different from how I am led. You're not on here doing these podcasts and the episodes or having your own podcast. You're not doing that. You're listening to me and I'm telling you what I know. Till that day comes where you want to do your own thing, then you will have to be truly learned and see the things that I see. I'm not bringing this stuff like a rabbit out of the hat and just popping up on you and say, oh, this is what I believe and you need to believe this. I'm not doing any of that. I care, but I don't care, if that makes sense. You do what you want to do. It's your walk. At the end of the day, you will stand before Yahuwah and have to answer the questions or be judged. I'm not going to be with you holding your hand. You're not going to rely on your phone to go back to messages and say, oh, but this was what I was told. That ain't happening. So the sister, again, instead of just conceding to the point of me showing why I do the Southern Hemisphere, of course she came back with this comment. Appreciate your explanation. Have you considered these verses? The very first Passover was in Egypt, which is in the Northern Hemisphere. That was literally as it happened. They had no choice but to do it in the Northern Hemisphere. They had no choice but to do it in Egypt because they were in Egypt coming out of bondage. The whole point of the feast and the ceremony and the ordinances that comes with it was it to happen when it happened. It ain't like they had an option to do it anywhere else. And these are the two verses. This is a day you are to commemorate that for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival, a lasting ordinance. It doesn't say to stay in the Northern Hemisphere. The next one was celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. That is an ordinance. That's why they have in Leviticus 23 the ordinances, the statutes. What we should do during the feast day. It don't say anywhere in there that, hey, you were in the Northern Hemisphere in captivity. You should stay in the Northern Hemisphere and in captivity. So regardless if you went to Babylon, to Persia, or Medai, or to the Assyrians, you stick to the Northern Hemisphere. No matter if you went to the Promised Land, and mind you, they were in the Promised Land for thousands of years. They weren't in captivity every single time they touched ground. They were in bliss. If you read the book of Yehudah, there was a time that passed where the Israelites did not sin. That they were good for like a couple of years, more than a couple of years. So you're trying to tell me that they followed the Northern Hemisphere and all of their feast days because of Egypt? That is a real asinine thing to say. So all those feast days they did when they were not in captivity, you trying to tell me they mirrored the Northern Hemisphere? If that was true, then Hanukkah wouldn't be right. Because in the Northern Hemisphere, Hanukkah happens during winter time. If you're following a Northern Hemisphere calendar and the calendars I have seen, Hanukkah starts in the ninth month, which is November, early December. And that's not really when winter kicks off in the Northern Hemisphere. So even by using Hanukkah, your comment, it was wrong. Like I said, if you guys want to stay in the Northern Hemisphere, stay in it. You haven't read the scriptures I've read. You haven't been communicating with y'all the way I communicate with y'all. That's on y'all. Y'all do your business. But it must struck a nerve with you if you're bringing out to me why we should stay in the Northern Hemisphere or why we should stay and why we shouldn't go in the Southern Hemisphere. It's all learning. It's a walk. You're supposed to be walking. Why would I want to stay in some, if I know information about where the real land is, why would I want to stay in the land of my captivity spiritually and mentally? Why do I want to stay here? Why do I want to coordinate my calendar based on the Gregorian calendar or the seasons of this country, the seasons of my captivity? I don't know. Maybe y'all slave-minded. Maybe y'all house Negroes. I don't know. Maybe y'all descendants of house Negroes. I don't know. But I would rather leave the plantation. I'd rather leave and have my mind set on the land that I want to see in the second Exodus. It's like y'all not preparing for the second Exodus. Y'all just preparing to just, okay, I'm going to sit here. And when Yehushim comes back, then I'll change my mind and do the Southern Hemisphere if we get let out. Where you think we're going to go? You think we're going to go from America back to Egypt and then back to the Promised Land? That's where you think our feast days are going to mirror? That we're going to go, we're going to leave America, our last captivity, to go back to the Northern Hemisphere, our first captivity? That makes no sense either. Not even a little bit. But Yeshayahu 55 verses 1 through 9. O everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You know he's not talking about just food. He's talking about his word. He's talking about his way. He's talking about everything he is. His righteousness, his uprightness, his Torah. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will cut an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, you shall call a nation that you know not, and nations that knew not you shall run unto you because of Yahuwah Elohaka, and for the Holy One of Yasharel, for he has glorified you. This is the Gentiles soaking up the Torah in these last days, coming away from the religions of their forefathers and choosing Yahuwah. Seek ye Yahuwah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So you trying to tell me in y'all walk, y'all not calling upon him and seeking him out to validate if the land is what you're supposed to be using for your calendar? I've done that. I told you many episodes ago that I laid out a paper with two number of months on this paper, and I asked him before this altar that I built up out of stone, can you mark this paper and tell me what month I'm going to be in? And he marked it the correct month for me, and that is what I've been going off on. And it has nothing to do with the Northern Hemisphere. Why haven't y'all came to him and say, hey, should I be doing it this way? He may tell you something completely different because you're not privy to certain scriptures yet. Like I said, I've been through two or three calendars before I ended up on this one. And the first three is because I chose to follow man and not follow Yahuwah. So, like I said, don't follow me. I'm just showing you what I'm doing. You should be seeking him, not going to the comment section to try to validate using the wrong scriptures of why we shouldn't search for the true and holy land. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto El Yahuwah, and he will have mercy upon him and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says Yahuwah. Do any of us know what's the bar? Truly, do we know the bar of how we can get into heaven? I mean, we seen what's laid out in scripture and who is already said to be in heaven, like Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yasharel, and the Levites, but none of us are Levites. Our inheritance was around this earth. The Levites didn't have an inheritance. They didn't have a portion of land because their portion is in the highest of heavens, the Holy of Holies with Yahuwah. So we don't know what that bar is that's going to be welcoming people in. Now, mind you, the man that was the thief that was crucified with Yahusha, when Yahusha said, well, I will walk you in to the gates of heaven, that's one anomaly, one person we know of, that the day of his crucifixion was going to be walked into the gates of heaven. But for the rest of us, we don't know. Especially in the book of Revelation, when it says the 144,000 that still dwell on earth are going to be set apart so they will never see the trials and tribulation that everybody else will see. Are you not trying to be of that elect? Scripture says even the righteous are scarcely saved. Do you know that majority of us have to prove our faith by being beheaded? Does that not come through y'all's mind? What do you think the prerequisite of that? If I know anything through Scripture, those who were on the fence with Yahuwah had to pay with their life. And those who truly trusted in them also paid with their life. Like I said, we don't know. So I'm leaving it all, as they say as a football coach, leave it all on the field. How do you know that what you're doing is enough to get you into the kingdom? How do you know what you're doing is enough to get you set apart so you won't see the trials and tribulations that everybody else will see? I'm not even guaranteed that what I'm doing will save me from these trials and tribulations, but I don't know. I'm doing as much as I can while I'm on this earth. I'm not making excuses why I can't observe something that it's easy for me to observe. Not that hard, to tell you the truth. I'm not making excuses. I'm not going into other people's comment sections and say, oh, you know, just do it the old way. Just do it the way that, you know, while we are here, make it easy for us. I'm not doing that. But that's what this generation does. Is you'll find a way or find a reason not to do something because you want to be convenient in your walk. You don't want to stretch your ruach. You don't want to stretch your spirituality, your faith. It's so much easier just to do things as is, which is why I see a lot of people following to calendars that makes no sense. I seen that calendar that I saw, and I was surprised that people were posting it, especially people I know follow both of my pages. We're posting it. And then I broke down and I kept breaking down why it isn't correct. Because that calendar didn't have any Feast of Hanukkah on it. It didn't have any of the fast, the traditional fast that the Israelites did back then, especially for the tribe of Yehuda. Those are the things I do. The Most High said, seek the ancient way, walk therein. And of course, Negroes today won't walk therein because they're stiff-necked. That is a harsh label that he has put on us, to be called stiff-necked. He didn't call any of the other nations stiff-necked. He called us stiff-necked because no matter what he did, no matter what he told us, no matter what the prophets told us, we would not do it. And this is true today. And a lot of it has to do with you women, because that's who made that comment. Y'all live lives of with fathers that are not respectable men or not men of the Most High. And then that creates a thing in you and you don't be respectful for anybody else. In your relationships, you don't have no respect for the man. So it's always challenging authority or challenging what Yah said. Mattiyahu 6, 25 through, 25 through 34. Therefore say unto you, it's the scripture or the prophecy that he says, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the food and the body more than the raiment? And of course, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And he says, first seek, in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if I go through the prophecies of him returning with new Yerushalayim and new heaven, where do you think that he's going to set down this new Yerushalayim and this new heaven? Do you think he's going to set it down in the northern hemisphere? If you're seeking ye first the kingdom, where do you think the kingdom is? I want to know. Where do y'all think this kingdom is? It's going to be in Australia? He's going to set it down in Asia? He's going to set it down in Japan? Where do you think new Yerushalayim and the new heaven is going to be? This man has talked at length about how he's going to bring other armies and other nations to his land upon his mountains so he can break them in pieces and send them back to where they came from. Especially the prophecies in Ezekiel in the chapters of 30 to the end of the book of Ezekiel talks about Gog and Magog. He says, I'm going to bring them down to my land, to my mountains, and I'm going to beat them or I'm going to turn them around and send them back to their land. Now, is he going to send them, which is the northern hemisphere, so he's going to send them back up to Russia and China and then set new Yerushalayim and new heaven upon Gog and Magog's land after he has talked at length about how beautiful and how abundant and how resourceful his land is? That's what y'all believe. I mean, like I said, when you read enough scriptures, certain things just make more sense than others. So I get agitated when I saw that calendar being posted. And it left out a lot of the feasts that we still could do. There wasn't no Purim on there. That's mentioned in the book of Esther. Like I said, there was no Hanukkah. There was no days of remembrance because that calendar didn't follow any of the new moons. So there is no days of remembrance that's talked about in the first month, fourth month, seventh month, anything the 10th or 12th, 11th month. It's not in there. To truly work a calendar, to truly follow and seek the Most High is to seek all of it. If you are not doing any of the new moons, you are not participating in all of the Torah. If you offend just a little bit of the Torah, you offend it all. And Yahusha said that. That's what you really should be working on. Because like I said before, we don't know what the Most High's ways are. His ways are above our ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. So how do we know what's going to get us into the kingdom? It could be individually based that this person I'm going to bring in because of this specific trait. I'm going to bring in this person and this family for this specific trait. But I guarantee you it has to come down to the foundation of obedience. If you are not obedient to a higher power, I guarantee you you're not going to be obedient when somebody else tells you. Especially when you're using his words. I'm not making these words up on my own. I'm giving you chapter and verse, everything that I'm doing, so there is no second guessing why I'm doing it. First Baruch, chapter 4, verses 28. For it was your mind to go astray from Elohim. For it was your mind to go astray from Yahuwah. So being returned, seek him 10 times more. And it say 2 times more, 3 times more, 4 times more. It says 10 times more. So whatever you learn now, it should be amplified in the coming years or coming months while you still can find him, while you still can seek him. Sirach 39, verses 1 through 8. But he shall give his mind to the Torah of the Most High and is occupied in the meditation thereof. He will seek out wisdom of all the ancient and be occupied in prophecies. He will guard the sayings of the renowned men, and where subtle parables are, he will be there also. He will guard the sayings of the renowned men, great men of stature. So whatever Abraham has said or done, whatever Yitzchak has said and done, whatever Yasharel and Yehuda has said and done, and all of the prophets that are in scripture, renowned men who have said, this is what it is to walk in this way. This is what we've done. This is not the excuses that we type out. This is what we've done. That is what I'm choosing to guard. Those who came before me who did it the correct way. The way that got them to not ever see death, but have been taken up to be in the Holy of Holies. He will seek out the secrets of grave sentences and be conversant in dark parables. He shall serve among great men and appear before princes. He will travel through strange countries, for he has tried the good and the evil among men. He will give his heart to resort early to Yahuwah that made him, and will pray before the Most High, and will open his mouth in prayer and make supplication for his sins. When the great Yahuwah will, he shall be filled with the Ruach Binyah, which is understanding. He shall pour out wise sentences and give thanks unto Yahuwah in his prayer. He shall direct his counsel and knowledge, and in his secrets shall he meditate. He shall direct his counsel and knowledge, and in his secrets shall he meditate. Now, it's hard for some of you to do this in this generation because your mind is so filled with nonsense. You're on your phone, you're thinking about the foolishness on your phone. You watch TV, you're thinking about the foolishness on your TV. Your job, the drama that comes from your job, the drama in your relationships, all that, you cannot be truly in his secrets and meditating thereupon all the knowledge and understanding of Yahuwah. You can't be, for all that you have to do on a day-to-day basis, because these are the things that you see. We're chosen not to walk by sight, but when you're in this world and you see how fast it's going, and you see the times progressing fastly, that we're going to see the Antichrist in this generation, your mind is not truly preoccupied on the heavenly things that the Most High will do for his people and for his land. So, of course, when you hear something outside of that, you challenge it. He shall show forth that which he has learned and shall glory in the Torah of the covenant of Yahuwah. That is how you know you're doing it the right way. 1 Baruch chapter 2, verses 29 to 35. If ye will not hear my voice, surely this very great multitude shall be turned into a small number among the nations, where I will scatter them. For I knew that they would not hear me, because it is a stiff-necked people. But in the land of their captivities, they shall remember themselves. If I'm remembering myself, that means I have to remember where I come from. I got to remember what they did in that land. I got to remember how they walked in that land. I got to remember how they obeyed and also disobeyed in that land. And shall know that I am Yahuwah Elohim, for I will give them a heart and ears to hear. I will give them a heart and ears to hear. It's hard to have a heart and it's hard to hear when, as soon as your Ruach is struck with new information, your first thing you do is try to validate in the comment section. And they shall praise me in the land of their captivity and think upon my name. If I'm going to think upon his name, I got to know where his name was used at. If I'm going to think upon his name, I need to know the tabernacle where he chose to dwell at. If I'm going to think upon his name, I got to know the temple and where he burned it up for us disrespecting his name. That is if I'm thinking upon his name. And return from their stiff neck and from their wicked deeds, for they shall remember the ways of their fathers, which sinned before Yahuwah. And I will bring them again into the land which I promised, with an oath unto their fathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and they shall be Adonim of it, and I will increase them, and they shall not be diminished. And I'm going to be increased and not be diminished in America? Am I going back to Egypt to increase and not be diminished? He says, I'm going to bring them again into the land, which I promised with an oath. Oath. For thousands of years on this earth, that oath has not been broken. Every captivity, we've came back to that land. Every captivity. And the Israelites knew that for a time, they wouldn't stay in the land of their captivity. They would eventually come back. So the times that they would go, say a generation, 70 years, they'd be in captivity, or 100 and some years. They know eventually, which is literally two grandparents. That's like a grandparent, a parent, and then you. That's like the captivity. Why would they change anything they've done if they knew they were coming out? Especially when the Most High told them, like, look, you're going to be there for a specific time. Then I'm going to bring you out. They knew after a while, the stories of captivity, they knew eventually they keep returning. Returning for the Most High's sake, returning for Yasharel's sake, returning for his name's sake. So all of their feast days, their new moons, would never change. The ordinances would never change because they knew eventually they're going back. Why would they flip from Northern Hemisphere to Southern Hemisphere? Northern Hemisphere, they would just keep it the same, especially if you knew where the captivities were. The Assyrians in the Northern Hemisphere, Persia, which is Medai, and Babylon, those happen to be in the middle of Africa. So I don't truly know the seasons of that yet, but it's in the middle of Africa. And he would, like I said in the last episode, that there were Levites and prophets or priests that were allowed to leave to rebuild up the temple so they could do the feast days. That's if you actually reading scripture and not reading to debate. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them to be their Elohim, and they shall be my people, and I will no longer drive my people of Yasharel out of the land that I have given them. He is talking about us. That's why I love the books of Ezra and the books of Baruch. Because he's talking about us, how we should be preparing. Even though Yahushua said, don't call anybody your teacher, even Mashiach, don't call anyone your teacher. But I'm just bringing this up for a point. Yeshayahu 30, 15 through 23. For thus says Adonai Yahuwah, the Holy One of Yisrael, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In returning, why does he keep telling us to return? Return, 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 return. Because we will return spiritually, mentally, and obviously physically. But like I said, we don't know the cutoff point. We don't know the bar yet of who he's going to select to see Exodus, the second Exodus. Like I said, some of you don't even know you're going to be beheaded because we chose not to take the mark. But also those who were set apart for a particular reason will not be beheaded. I don't know about you, but even if I have to die for my faith, I would choose not to be beheaded. I would choose to see the land of my forefathers. Even though I believe in the resurrection and that the time that will come, I still would at least like to see. I would like to go through the second Exodus and see that land. But I don't know the bar to that. So I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Even more if I have to. How many of you can say that? That you're doing more than you need to do? Whatever your role is, tell me you truly believe you're doing all that you need to do. I mean, it's not like a checklist he has given us to say, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. It ain't no checklist. Because what he's looking for is obedience and consistency. But ye said, he said, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee. And we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. And this is my whole thing about people who wanted to run out of here, or that couple that ran out of here because of COVID. And whatever doctrine that you escaped here, end up finding them when they went over there. The same type of bondage, the same type of financial slavery. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and an ensign on a hill. That's what I said. That's how stiff-necked we are as a people. Even though that information about that calendar was put up, I guarantee you the people that saw it, that posted the calendar, will not change what they were doing, will not seek out the scriptures themselves. And all it is in returning, rest shall ye be saved. Quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But you choose not to have the strength and confidence of scripture, which that's what gives you courage, bravery, confidence, to value yourself, to validate yourself, all comes from scripture. When it comes from the world, it's going to wither away, it's going to be corrupted, it's going to be like they say in scripture, like a moth eaten out of cloth. The cankerworm, the palmer worm, the locust, eating away at your ruach, eating away at your mind, eating away at your deeds, your work, eating away at it because you rely on worldly validation. Not seeking the scriptures for yourself to rebuild your character, you seek outside opinions, outside things to validate who you are. And that's why a lot of you suffer in this world, and why a lot of you are scared of things in this world because of that validation attached to this world. And therefore will Yahuwah wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For Yahuwah is an Elohai of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Yerushalayim. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious unto you at the voice of your cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer you. And though Adonai give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand, when ye turn to the left. And though Adonai give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore. So now that we are out of these curses, now we are out of the judgment of this world, the Deuteronomies of this world. This is why I can't stand when y'all keep talking about Deuteronomy, talking about slavery and talking about bondage and all that. Once we walked up out of that, then we understand that it's the Most High has given us this bread of adversity and the water of affliction. And at the time, they didn't have any teachers. I truly felt sorry for my ancestors, my forefathers, when I come to this truth now. Because we have so many teachers. It's no excuse why we shouldn't learn or be learning. Especially when it says knowledge in the end times shall be increased. Our forefathers didn't even get that in chattel slavery. They got irons around their neck, fetters on their feet, whips and lashes on their back, being pulled apart by horses, cannibalized by Europeans. And the only teachers they had was Frederick Douglass, Prince of Freemasons, Christian pastors, truly going around and around and around and around in circles, not seeking any type of rest, any type of strength. And mind you, they were so separated from what the Israelites were in covenant with and under Mount Sinai. None of us ever disobeyed the Most High when we came out of Egypt. We weren't even around at that time. The ones who did 400 years of that chattel slavery, they were in Egypt. They were in Moab. They were in Assyria or Ashishur. They were in Babylon. They didn't get the temple all tore up and burned by these other nations. There was nobody in 400 years of Negro slavery that was ever in the book of Maccabees. And they got afflicted the worst. I'm talking about from grandparents to parent to children to their children to their other children. That's multiple generations not having a teacher, not having the word, the true word, but having a slave doctrine that told them to obey their masters as their masters raped and pillaged their households, through their children in the swamp. We aren't going through any of that now. And yet you Negroes and you called away, called out Assembly Gentiles, find every excuse not to go seek him and his kingdom. Every excuse. And then when you see the truth, you gloss over it. I wouldn't even say some of you, I would say a lot of you need to go back to chattel slavery so you could truly grasp the understanding about being afflicted and having the bread of adversity. Some of you will probably come out stronger than you were in this world because some of you don't have the right affliction and the right adversity to build your character. It's too many avenues for y'all to act like children around here. Too many avenues. Our ancestors had nowhere to go. Literally nowhere to go. They would have to take it. There is no online forum that they can complain about. Nothing. They had to be quiet about their affliction. They had to be quiet about their adversity. That generation is much more stronger than this generation today by 10, maybe even by 100. This happened to me. I don't. And then you go cry about it in the comment section of somebody else's post.
I don't want to do this because it's too hard.
And then you go look for another teacher that tells you to do it the opposite way.
I'm going to do it. I don't want to do that.
And then you'll follow a Hebrew Israelite camp that leads you more into Luciferianism. This world gives you so many options to not deal with affliction and adversity, especially when it comes to the word. The Most High said we would never face the affliction and adversity once we learn who we are or learn the scriptures. That's usually when it turns up. Because now you made it a point to be a beacon. Satan ain't out after people who are already doing it his way. Demons are enjoying people who are out doing it, whatever they want to do. Whether it be clubbing, whether it be concert going, whether it be fornicating, whether it be whatever foolishness that man does in this realm that adds pleasure to their life, demons are having a fun doing it. They would not really truly be agitating and oppressing and possessing people that they are fulfilling or getting food from by lynching, being on attached to these people. It's only through judgment are they having to detach. But they're going to enjoy this ride. They're going to enjoy the attachment of people doing it wickedly. And then there's unclean ruach that are so pissed off at their situation that they want to go against those who are doing it the right way. Most I said that would never happen, that we won't be tested. But if you don't read enough scriptures, everything seems like an attack to you. If you're not in these words and the stories of the words and the stories of the people who lived these words, everything will be attacked to you. You don't know how you're being attacked. You don't know if it's coming from a consequence or it's coming from affliction or it's coming from adversity. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." I don't know about you, but this is the way that I was told to walk, and I'm going to walk ye in it. Because I know what it feels like to turn to the right hand and turn to the left. "Ye shall defile also the covering of your graven images of silver and the ornament of your molten images of gold. Ye shall cast them away as minstrel's cloth. You shall say unto it, get you hence." You could translate that into a metaphor of whatever is an idol in your heart or whatever is an idol in your mind. That when you choose to walk in a specific way, you'll always fall away. Whatever you hold esteemed in your life, in your mental, that eventually falls away if you truly choosing to walk a specific way that he has laid out in front of us. A lot of things have been stripped away from, you know, out of me. A lot of things that I truly enjoy doing. But choosing to walk this way and not turning to the left is how I at least put myself on a list and not the less to be damned. I want it to be a hard decision. Who should I take? Should I prove his faith by the guillotine, or should I put him with the 144,000, or should I keep him separate? I'm not saying it's a competition, but I'm damn sure going to make it known that I'm doing the obedience of Scripture. So at least when that decision has to be made, I know I did my best. When I stand up in front of him for judgment, not only he's going to look at because I found out where the land is, but how I've been obedient unto him, and not for just the obedience and doing the works, just to declare myself able to be chosen to go into heaven, but just because I love doing what I'm doing. That when he checks and he checks my heart, he knows that I wanted to do this. No one's making me do it. I'm in a situation where I don't have to do nothing. Literally nothing. But I choose to do it. I choose to inconvenience myself for his love. I think that's the better way to put it, this entire episode. I choose to inconvenience myself for his love. Then shall he give the rain of your seed, that you shall sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall your cattle feed in large pastures. Then shall he give the rain of your seed, that you shall sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall your cattle feed in large pastures. When I think about seed, and he says the rain of your seed, I know it's much more than he's talking about crops and animals. He's talking about the generation of your family, the bloodline of your family. In order to see generations down the line, you would have to perfect what you're doing now, especially if you're one that came out of these curses, especially if you're the one that came out of your respective religions of your forefathers and choosing today, this day, to follow Yahuwah. That means you are starting a new seed. You are planting something new. You are not planting what your forefathers, your grandparents, or your parents planted before you that made you spring up the way you sprung up. You're doing something new. So from the time you get married, the time you have children, that is the seed. That is the new seed. Apart from curses, apart from generational trauma, you are the new seed. So what you do now, what you choose to do, even if you are chosen to be set apart or chosen for the guillotine, regardless, a seed of you would remain. You have to pray to the Most High Yahuwah that your seed remains. And what will remain? Will it be the victimhood of adversity and affliction? Or would it be the righteousness and uprightness, courage and bravery of the Torah? For that to last generations and generations on, so that generation, that sixth generation and bloodlines down the line can turn back and say that we are who we are because that person in our bloodline made the sacrifice, chose to be obedient, chose to be inconvenient for Yahuwah that got us this blessing that we're blessed with today. We have this pasture. We have all this rain. We have the increase of the earth because that one family member, those two family members, our two forefathers, our foremothers, chose to do the obedience and chose to do the work that we reap the benefits today. That's almost like saying what kind of parent you want to be. Not for the generation that you see, but it's for the ones that you don't see. Now I'm saying to go back on scripture and saying worrying about tomorrow and worrying about the next day. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying what you do every single day, it adds up. If it didn't add up, then the Most High Yahuwah would not say to those who are disobedient, I'm going to visit the sins of the father to the fourth and it didn't say the sins of the mother. It said the sins of the father from the fourth and fifth generation and them that hate me. And I've already given you a couple of stories of bloodlines doing it the correct way, where they were blessed eternally because of one man, not two men, three men, because of one man chose to be obedient and chose to be upright and chose to be righteous and chose to seek the kingdom and all of its glory. That the entire bloodline and generations to this day is blessed with peace, love, and security because of that one man. That's almost saying what kind of father you want to be. And you have to understand, as a man, you're going to go through affliction, you're going to go through adversity, and you're going to go through disrespect. But what does not change is these ordinances, these statutes, coming back to the land and seeking him 10 times more. That don't ever change. Regardless of how you feel and what you're doing, that don't ever change. I said this before, it's consistency. A lot of men today struggle with consistency. If you have never lived or most of your life through a schedule, it's going to be hard for you to be consistent to the Most High Yahuwah because you haven't had that groundwork yet. Some of you are also blessed just to be in sports. You understand the consistency of having to get up, having to go to school, having to go to practice, having to study, having to perform, and then doing it over and over again on a consistent basis. Truly, this is why this is easy for me to do new moons, to do Shabbats, to do ordinances and statutes and these feast days like it ain't nothing because I'm used to scheduling. I'm used to every single day doing something. I almost feel weird if I'm not doing something. I'm just used to scheduling. I'm used to doing things particularly on a time. My college coach said one time, if you are on time, then you're late. Sort of my 5 years in college, because I redshirted, I had to show up to meetings 15 minutes early. So that's why I do everything early for some reason. Well, I know the reason, but this is why I do it. It's ingrained in me to show up places early. It's because of the consistency of doing it over and over again. If you're a man that's not used to consistency, you are going to struggle most times in this walk. So you need to rely on Yahuwah even more to bring it to your mind and bring it to your attention that this is the walk, this is the way that we should walk in. It's almost like training. It's almost like boot camp. Where do you think Army is? Where do you think the military is? It's getting kids or those who are in this particular arrangement to get used to order, to get used to scheduling. Why? Because they have life been out of order. That's how most people ended up in Army. Unless your main MO is to go out and kill somebody. But that's usually the MO of most young kids that end up in the Army because they need order. If you understood the order of Yah, you would submit yourself to something that actually pays and not be fighting somebody else's war. Speaking of war, have you ever seen these edits that the White House is doing on their social media? It is the most hilarious foolishness that I ever got to witness. I mean, they're using football clips. I'm talking about NFL and college. Clips of people getting tattooed on the field, and they're using it as when they do these little grainy videos of battleships and ships and all these other places that they're going to war with. They're using that as the exclamation point of things blowing up. And then they did another edit where they used movie clips. I mean, they just giving out like an edit highlight reel of what they're doing in Iran. And people eat that up because it's like a highlight reel. People are not going to investigate. They just want to feel good, which makes me go back to the movie Gladiator, the very first one, where Joaquin Phoenix's character asked, like, why do they care about the battles in Germania? They don't even get to see them. And his sister says, because they care about the glory of Rome. And he's like, what is that? It's like it's the image. And people care about the image of America, especially when they've worked so tirelessly to mar the image of America, so it makes you want to fight for the old America even more. So the reason why they brought out trans people reading in libraries, trans in the streets dancing around children, these pride parades, the reason why they did that is because you want the image of America to be what it was in the years of 1776. You wanted the good old days back where you actually feared America through its military might. So basically, the Hegelian dialectic people, by saying, okay, America looks weak, and we're making America look weak for this purpose. So when it comes to war, you think that is the masculine era of America coming back. So yeah, you're going to be all for America fighting Iran and fighting in the Middle East and did not know you're doing it for Israel. I mean, hook, line, and sinker. They do this time and time again to people, and people still haven't woken up to why they feel the way they, or why they are not happy. This not even has to do with just Iran. It has to do with everything that people attach themselves to this world. It is one big Hegelian dialectic. If you don't know what that is, it's basically they're giving you a problem that they manufactured and saying this is a solution to the problem, which is still something they manufactured. And they watch you fall for it. So if you look through your life, even in the relationships that you have, for instance, if all you see on TV is one particular image of what you think you want your relationship to look like or what you want your partner to look like, you then will also go and get what they produce for you. So if you want this image on TV, knowing that there will be some character out there that's wanting to be this image and character. So then they give you this character, then you chew your whole household up, or you chew your relationship values up, or you chew your whole body up being in this relationship. Then you sit there like with the shit face that you got disappointed and you don't know where that comes from. It's because you keep getting Hegelian dialectic. You keep accepting their solution to the problem they create for you. It's in your jobs. It's in your friendships. It's in the things that you love to do. It's in there. If you're a person that loves traveling and they keep showing you specific travel places in your timeline, eventually you're going to go. And then when you go, you get exactly what the experience they showed you. Then you come back and you're not even feeling full or satisfied or feel like you went anywhere because it's a satisfaction that they provided for you. Your whole being, if you're attached to this world, really, if your whole being, your whole validation coming from this world, I guarantee you is something that they have given you. If they have given you a problem in your own life that they have manufactured for you. And you convince yourself that this is who you are. And the only way you understand it is if you gone through scriptures and understand it on the other side, on the opposite side of that. If you truly understand the scriptures and you understand truly where the Hegelian dialect comes from. It's the reason why the Most High said to the Israelites, I said, if you do not remove these Canaanites, if you do not remove the problem, you then will become the solution. And that means you will be tied to them and I will eradicate you. Period. The Most High does it in a very, very righteous and upright way. The world is not going to warn you. It is not going to warn you that this is going to happen. Not the way you want to be warned. They'll warn you through symbolism. They'll warn you through mocking you with certain stories or certain horror stories that'll get you in your fear and get you afraid to do things. The Most High does it in a very straightforward, direct way. If you don't do this, this is going to happen to you. If you do this, this is going to happen to you. I know I'm ranting, but I really want y'all to detach from the worldly affairs and how you have ordered your entire body, your entire mind based on the experience of the world. Plant a new seed. Plant the experiences of the spiritual world and what you can look forward to in the spiritual world. That's what it truly means to be conversant in dark parables and dark sentences and be infatuated with prophecies. That's where you know where you at least stand. There's people online, I think on TikTok, complaining and crying because America wouldn't pick them up because the war had hit. The war had hit Dubai. There was this girl, a 30-year-old girl, just like, oh, like crying her eyes out, saying that she has posted this because she's stuck in Dubai and she was trying to do her 30th birthday in Dubai. I mean, I think I have never been to Dubai, but from what I know and what I've heard, it looks extremely overrated. But like, again, it's a thing that has been put up in front of her face that, oh, you need to come here to be somebody. You want to be validated that you're a big baller. You need to be in Dubai. And she took that chance and didn't see anything of the warning signs of not going anywhere near that Middle East. And they've been priming the Middle East for at least 2 or 3 years now. So if you actually had some sense, you'd be like, nah, I'm not going over there regardless if I want to do my birthday or not. But she was on there crying, saying, oh, I've posted videos hoping that the president will send planes to rescue us. And of course, it's a black girl. And then she does all this crying and then makes it about her Dior scarf, makes it about her lip gloss, and then posting like, I mean, I was like, see, this is the people who are going to be destroyed and don't know when they're going to be destroyed. Just like I posted on Instagram, there was a bomb that blew up this woman's whole building and her ass was streaming. Like, she was in the middle of a war zone and she was streaming. And during that streaming, a missile hit her building. The entire building blew up and that's the last thing she streamed. That's what I'm saying. People are truly not, they are not ready. People are not in their right mind, which is what the stupor that the Most High is going to lay on the inhabitants of the earth, that they really will not know that the consummation of times is nigh. People's last moments will be streaming and complaining that they're not getting picked up or not being listened to, instead of preparing for the kingdom that is coming, not seeking the kingdom. Do not be one of these people. Do not be so involved with this world that you truly do not see that he's coming as a thief in the night, that we are truly supposed to be at watch. When you're at watch, you don't make the certain moves that everybody else make. You don't think the way everybody else think when you're supposed to be watching. So it's truly an embarrassment. I mean, this war is really exposing a lot of how people react to adversity and affliction. Like I said, they'll run to social media, run to it, gathering witnesses and other victims that go through the same exact things that they have created in their own life and think that nothing is supposed to ever touch them. Formatted their entire life for them not to be touched. When this world is pretty much showing you those who are not walking with the Most High is going to be touched. But those who walk with the Most High get touched too. But at least you know why you're getting touched. You know it's either because you sinned or your faith is going to be tried so that you can come on top, that you would shame the devil. That's the understanding.